This is Hot Tech with Jan Vermeulen.
I did say we'd cross over a bit early because we do have a number of hot tech issues to discuss. It is Tuesday. Jan Vermeulen, editor at My Broadband, discussing everything hot tech on a Tuesday on the Afternoon Overdrive. Jan, good afternoon to you. Thanks so much for joining us once again on the show.
Good afternoon. It's a pleasure to be here.
No, great to have you on board once again. Jan, let's begin with the security report released after hackers break into a major South African financial system.
Yes, this is a follow-up story on the data breach. Perhaps calling it a data breach is a bit of a understatement. This is such a multifaceted breach of that impacted directly the SRD grant. So for folks who maybe don't know, the SRD grant is a COVID era social relief of distress grant. It's kind of become a de facto basic income grant here in South Africa. That system was compromised. Two first-year students from Stellenbosch University, Joel Cedras and Virgo Sai, uncovered this.
Oh, and right. I recall that story. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So what's happened, and I hope you find this as deeply frustrating as I do, is this: they released their first results, or their first results of their investigation, first report of their investigation, in I think November last year, and immediately Parliament sprung into action. We all got called by the SIU, and the Department of Social Development appointed an independent investigator. So in this case, it was an auditing firm, Masekhare and Associates, and they seem to have subcontracted a cybersecurity specialist, Stanley Machote, to look into this. And what has happened in the past 4 months is they have confirmed everything that Joel Cedras and Virgo Sai have found. That's it. That's all they've done. There's no details about the impact of this situation. So also to remind people, the reason I said this thing was multifaceted is we also, after Cedras and Gosai released their report, we got contacted by a hacking group called NautiSec. Mm-hmm. And NautiSec said they had stolen $10 million, that was about 175 million rand at the time, from South African taxpayers through the mechanism that Cedras and Gosai described, right? And so essentially what that involves is identity theft.
Yeah.
They create a cell phone number at a MVNO that had a bad Rika system. Then they open a bank account using that cell phone number and with the stolen identity they already have. Then they apply for a SRD grant. Along the way, like a whole bunch of logical flaws in the system. These aren't like your typical security flaws. These aren't hacks. These are flaws in validation and verification. The systems were working exactly as intended. Some of them were just buggy. In the case of the MVNO system, the cell phone operator system was just buggy or just willfully badly implemented because they did not validate the RICO documents that were submitted. But the bottom line is that with this, the attackers are able to register for an SRD grant, which is just 370 rand a month. But if you register for thousands,
exactly,
of
exactly, right. How much are they? Yeah. How much are they hacking? Wow.
Yeah, yeah. And so NautiSec claimed that they stole $10 million from South African people in total. But the report that cost us, the amount that was disclosed in Parliament was 280,000 rand. So this report cost us 280,000 rand, which, by the way, Cedros and Gosai were not compensated, right? So they did their work for free. And then Parliament goes, they contract somebody else to literally just confirm what they found. We still don't know how many fraudulent accounts are in the system or were in the system. Hopefully they've cleaned it up by now, but we don't even know if that's happened. They assure that the system is no longer vulnerable. That remains to be seen. You know, we don't have any indication of how much money has been stolen out of the SRD grant system. And so, and our government is talking about pumping another 35 billion rand into this for the next financial year. It's part of the reason they want to hike that.
Oh boy.
And so it just makes me mad. This has been dragging on for 4 months. I'm at a point where I'm going, how can we think about administering what is effectively a basic income grant system if we can't even verify that the people it's being paid to are real?
And throwing money into this pit also at the same time. Unbelievable, Jan.
Honestly, potentially funding terrorist states. We don't know. We don't know if it's North Koreans that are breaching the system and using our tax money to fund it. Yeah, you know, it's like cybercrime has taken a real turn. It's not just, you know, script kiddies and curious teenagers and whatever that are messing around.
Yeah.
Or even just like a black hat that's looking for some money. There's often organized crime behind this stuff. And the thought of our tax money going towards something like that, like, it's at the point where I'm going, if I find out that these naughty sec guys are just run-of-the-mill criminals who are using the money to fund a lavish lifestyle, I would be relieved. Because in all likelihood, you find out that they're into human and drug trafficking and all kinds of things.
Jan, let's continue getting mad about life. Let's look at the solar power system approval battle in South Africa. What's happening here now?
Yes, so there's a battle brewing, or battle ongoing, between essentially electricians and electrical and electronic engineers again. But honestly, I don't think it's actually between the practitioners. It's between their organizations. And the government, which wants for every single solar installation for a professionally registered engineer to sign off on every single rooftop solar installation, right? And so if you've had your rooftop solar done during load shedding and you happen to have it signed off by an engineer, then you're golden. But there are plenty of systems which were not installed that way did not get that sign off. They were signed off by an electrician with a COC. There's also many that were done fly by night, but that's an entirely separate situation. This is part of a larger issue spearheaded by Eskom, but that's touching the municipalities now as well, about registering rooftop solar systems and making sure that they comply with a whole bunch of extra requirements that weren't disclosed when we were at the height of load shedding in 2020 and 2021, well, maybe less 2020, but 2021, 22, 23, when we were being ravished by load shedding. Essentially people, you know, government and Eskom were begging us to install rooftop solar systems.
Right.
If not begging us, at least encouraging us to do so. Now after the fact, there's all these things that are going, no, but you've got the wrong inverter. You need to have this signed off by a professional engineer, and electrician isn't good enough.
Boy.
And so anyway, this is now the next fight in this thing. Is there's a fight between the professional body for electricians and the professional body for engineers over and the government over whether electricians should have the right or the delegated authority to sign off on rooftop solar installations. They argue that it should be that way, and in fact, based on the regulations as they exist right now, it does allow them to do that, and this whole thing by government is just a smokescreen. We're in for another fun match between government and the people.
Jan, just a few minutes left. Let's continue with our baffled minds and mouths agasp after what we've just discussed up till now. Let's conclude with South African copper theft disaster. What's happening here?
Yes. I think we're all familiar with the catastrophe that is infrastructure vandalism and theft. Essentially, there's a warning from Professor Vallipati Yachi, who's a former executive manager of Eskom and the director of City Power's engineering operations, mm-hmm. that cable thieves are becoming increasingly more sophisticated. And we're looking at a 2 billion rand per year crime here. Mm-hmm. And he says that these cable thieves are risking going down into ducts, into underground ducts to steal cable.
Wow.
So you go into these tunnels to steal cable, and he warns, he says, whether it's live or dead, it's a massive risk because you're grinding through the cable and those sparks can start a fire. Once it ignites, it's like a massive blowtorch which will kill you instantaneously. And so we have these criminals that are also increasingly desperate. And it perhaps speaks to a larger societal issue, but worthwhile considering is that these criminals steal this cable. Let's say they get for like nice thick cables, they get a couple of 10,000 rand for the
right.
cable,
mm-hmm.
Maybe even 100,000 rand. But the damage that they cause is millions, tens of millions to hundreds of millions of rands of damage, depending on the type of cable that they steal.
Indeed.
Right, the knock-on effect. So it's not just the replacement cost of the cable, it's that now the power surge knocks out everybody in that neighborhood.
Right.
Fridges, washing machines. So it's a massive insurance claim for people who have insurance. It's tens of thousands of rands of damage per household. You add that all up with the infrastructure replacement cost.
Yeah.
It's this massive flywheel.
Indeed. Jan, we're going to have to leave it there. As always, the pleasure having you on board. And thanks so much for joining us once again to bring us all these frustrating hot tech issues. You didn't mean that on your part. I know that. Jan Vermeulen, editor at My Broadband.